Welcome to the Western New York Entrepreneur Podcast, helping Western New York entrepreneurs take the next step in their business. If you love Western New York and entrepreneurship, this is the podcast for you. Whether you have been in business for 20 years or 20 minutes, there is something for everyone. David Schaub interviews the top entrepreneurs in Western New York so you can take your next step in your own business.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Western New York Entrepreneur. I hope you guys are having a great day while you're listening to this. It is Tuesday, September 15th, and we are 3 days away from our actual in-person networking event. I can't believe I'm even saying that during COVID-19 still well alive, unfortunately, in our country. But if you have not RSVP'd yet, by the time you listen to this podcast, if it's not past September 18th, and there are a few spots left, make sure you guys check that out if you haven't. But anyways, I want to introduce our guest today. We have Emily Morrow. She is one of the co-founders of Step Out Buffalo. And if you're from Buffalo and you're living in Buffalo, you're very well aware of Step Out Buffalo. They have a huge following and they're doing great things in our community. Thanks so much, Emily, for being on with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So for those, Emily, that don't know Step Out Buffalo as well, they're not exactly sure what you guys do or don't know your story. And, you know, in a few minutes or so, can you kind of let us know what that is, what you're all about and what Step Out Buffalo is?
Sure. So as you said, I'm the co-founder. I founded the company with my dad in 2013. So if you don't know what Step Out Buffalo is, we are kind of a resource for dining and fun and entertainment in the Western New York area. So we cover all the way up from like Niagara County down to the Southern Tier. And even during COVID, actually, we've kind of ventured outside of that a little bit, just with everyone loving to do like vacations in New York State. So we just kind of try to write about and cover things that fall under those categories. We do it through our website, stepoutbuffalo.com. And then we have a bunch of social media accounts, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We just started TikTok. We have an email newsletter that has over 50,000 subscribers that we send out 5 times a week, actually, with new content. And we just kind of have fun with it. We don't take anything too seriously. And we've also kind of branched off into some other directions, like hosting our own events when it's not COVID times. Unfortunately, we've had to stop that in 2020, but we will get back to it as soon as that's over. But yeah, so that's pretty much the gist of it. Like I said, we've launched some spin-off things here and there. Some of them have turned out awesome. Some of them have been failures, but we've learned a lot in the process. I'm originally from Hamburg, New York, and I actually moved back a couple of years ago. I went to school at Miami of Ohio for business, but I'm kind of a big believer in like actual field experience is much more important than schooling. Not that I had a hard time with school, but I had to put a ton of effort in to really get myself where I wanted to be. And in hindsight, you know, probably just like starting a side business, side hustle would have been a much quicker way for me to learn. And I've just really enjoyed learning along the way with this, you know, process of growing a business.
Yeah, I mean, so a couple of things come to mind. 2 questions. You can answer which one you want to do first. Number one is, how did Step Out Buffalo start? Was it just a website at first? Was it just an Instagram account? I would love to know which came first, the website or the social media aspect? And number two, what is the thing that you wish you learned? In fact, I'll put it this way. In school, I didn't go to school for business, so I'm actually curious. I hear in business school, and in general sense, because there's thousands of business schools out there, I hear they more of teach you how to work for a business versus running a business. Is that true in your eyes from your experience or no?
I'll start with that one. I'm very passionate about this because I feel like I was just confused about the whole thing, which, you know, of course, like if you have the opportunity to go to college and enjoy that experience, it's worth it 100%. I learned a lot throughout that period of my life. I just wouldn't necessarily say I learned it from school. But then again, I guess if you're learning things that you don't want to do in the long run, that's valuable too. In terms of business school, I really didn't take much away from it, but I think that is attributed to my, you know, just kind of like poor testing skills. I'm not like great on the spot. I'm more of an analytical thinker and I like to give a lot of thought to things. I just don't love the fact that you have to memorize stuff. I like to like think critically and learn from trial and error. So just the setup of like traditional formal education just isn't my really like learning style, but it wasn't that obvious growing up because I think I have a really decent work ethic. So that kind of like made up for that and hid those like learning adjustments that probably would have helped me get where I am now just a little sooner.
That makes complete sense.
In terms of business school, that's how I felt at Miami of Ohio specifically. Like they are churning out corporate rock stars and I am just not a corporate style person. I love like the fast paced, like DIY, like you're in every single facet of the business, like that entrepreneurship spring. So that's like one thing I realized going to school is like, I just did not want to work in a corporate setting. I want every single thing that I do every day to really have an impact on like my personal bottom line, I guess you could say. So I'm sure the experience is different for everybody. And I think like, I'm sure if you go for your MBA and you really have like a goal in mind, maybe like if you're working backwards to like learn some skills that you know you're going to put to work later on, I'm sure it's valuable. But for me, going into school and having like a, what is it? You know, they always call it like a general, whatever they call the general degree in like liberal arts schools. It's just like, it was just kind of a little bit of a waste, I think. But I think working backwards would probably make sense. I like to find a need and then like educate myself on that specific need and then put it to work.
Yeah, and the second question, was it more of a website first for Step Up Buffalo or was it a social media first?
Yeah, so it was a website first, but the social media came directly after. It wasn't kind of like, it wasn't even an afterthought. It was goes hand in hand. We've always taken the approach of like, we're going to sit down and build a business from the start. So I think that's kind of what sets us apart from like some other social media accounts or even blogs that you might like come across that have a similar target audience or topics that they talk about. Like we really sat down and set out to create a business and sell advertising and grow an audience and, you know, monetize this website resource. So people like at first kind of, and still do sometimes call us a blog, which of course, for all intents and purposes, it is a blog. Like we build our website on WordPress and we write content and post and publish articles, but we set out to create sort of like an online digital publication /magazine, if you will. I feel like those are pretty old school terms, but that's kind of how you can compare it. So we immediately created social media accounts in order to distribute our content and market our business. And that is definitely what I would attribute all of our growth to is our social media presence.
Yeah, that's so good. So I'm curious, what was your, so what your original vision of, obviously, when you first started this about Buffalo, a lot of times businesses have this vision or this idea of what they think it will be. And then obviously as time moves on, they pivot or they realize, wow, like we thought we were serving this community, but now we're serving this community, or we thought it would be this idea. And now it's this idea, you know, good or bad. Do you feel like the original vision has been the same for Step Up Buffalo? And if how has it evolved and how and why?
I do. I think our original vision is still, you know, at our core of our mission, which was to be a resource for dining and entertainment. We set out to list event listings and restaurant listings and connect Western New Yorkers with local businesses and kind of like try to encourage them to try new things in the area. The idea was kind of like a travel website, but for locals, created by locals, because we felt like there was just a lot to discuss in that area at that time. The way in which we kind of pivoted was small, but I think significant. We started off just really focusing on listings, and we thought there was a great need for like a comprehensive event listing platform. So there were so many new events popping up in 2013 in the area. And we were like, it would be great if we could just go to one place. And this was actually even before or like just at the beginning of Facebook having events, their platform, which now is a great resource. And we even use that resource to gather information from event organizers and restaurants and stuff. But to have like a place to go to see like all this, like this list of events that I can go do and filter by date or location or category, obviously, So that was our main focus at first, and we quickly realized like curating that information into articles and guides based on our kind of like our picks and our opinions to an extent, or just into different categories or curations, was a huge help in kind of like propelling our brand awareness, and kind of people just love that curation of the listing. So that was kind of a slight pivot that we made early on that definitely gained us some traction. I remember doing like an August bucket list article, and then it all connects back to our listing because that's really where we get all of our information for those guides and articles. So it's a big circle, and I love that. We've also evolved in kind of like being more outwardly pro Buffalo than we originally thought that we would be. Not that we didn't mean to be not pro Buffalo, but we realized pretty early on, like, we don't want to be putting any businesses down. We want to draw positive attention to places that are doing some really great stuff. And we want to focus on that because Buffalo is such a place with like so much, you know, internal love and understanding. And if you go outside of Buffalo, if you've ever lived, you know, anywhere else, even if just leaving for college, like, you realize how a lot of cities and towns just don't have that, you know, bond. And so we just wanted to kind of like focus on that, capitalize on that, and even just kind of build that up even more. And that was kind of like what we felt personally. So we wanted to kind of zero in on that even more. And then, so I would say we kind of evolved into that. Like, we're like, okay, we're not going to review restaurants because we don't want to draw negative attention to a place. And not to mention, everything is subjective. You know, like, yeah, there are people that like places that like a reviewer might think, you know, be critical of. And so we felt like that, you know, the Buffalo News and other blogs had that kind of covered, and they do a great job at that. So we decided to focus our efforts like in some other ways. And I think that was a big moment for us, a turning point, and we've decided to just become completely pro Buffalo in all of our accounts and all of our posts. We've also evolved to kind of offer our own events, which I think was a big thing that we never, you know, had thought would be on the horizon, but we just saw such an opportunity for it that we were like, all right, we can figure out how to plan a festival with thousands of people. And it's been a huge learning experience, but something that we've loved doing. My family's kind of like always loved hosting gatherings, so it kind of just makes sense, and it's a family business, so that's pretty much how we approach our events too.
Yeah, so that's really good. I like how you explained it in such detail, Vali, because a lot of times people just answer things in such a broad perspective, and it's just like you don't really know, or such a simple concept. And you're like, well, I think there's more to this. But yeah, anyways, but I love it. So believe it or not, we're only 10 minutes. We're already 10 minutes in. So things go quick. So we're going to have to do, a little shorter answers, but because I have so many questions I want to ask, and I'm sure our audience has questions as well. So what is your approach to social media marketing and marketing in general? Because you guys have created such a great platform for attracting your audiences and really just delivering what I feel like Buffalo really wants. So I would love to hear your approach to social media marketing. I'm sure a lot of people would love to hear that as well.
Yeah, our main approach that I like to take is trial and error, and just kind of like keeping things moving, like, you know, trying new things and seeing what sticks. We always try to get on new platforms, try out new features, even if we kind of like fumble around for a while. And we just try to really stay contextually relevant. Like, if you go on our Instagram account, like, if the Bills are playing, we're talking about the Bills. We're going to talk about what readers are talking about themselves and what they want us to talk about. We get a lot of requests, like, through our email and direct messages and stuff. So we just keep it contextually relevant, I would say. And trial and error is just a huge one. Like, we're never going to just do something because we've been doing it for a long time. We're going to switch it up.
Yeah. So do you guys have like a board of people that has come up with new ideas, or do you guys just like brainstorm once a week? Is it really just spontaneous with your guys' meetings and thoughts on like changing things up? Or do you guys have like a set meeting like once a month or something?
We are very spontaneous. We're just a pretty small team, and that usually works out of the same office. We don't right now, but we're super spontaneous. We just kind of get feelings and make changes. And we're super dynamic in that way. And I think that's super important to growing a business and staying relevant. That's like one of our main, I think, pillars is just stay dynamic. Do not get stuck in your ways. Make the change and see how it goes and change it back if it doesn't work, or, you know, double down if it does.
No, I love it. I love the spontaneous of it, because some people are so regimented, and like the way I'm wired is I think a good plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. So that not everybody else should feel that way, but that's just what's worked well for me. So it's actually a little, this makes me feel better, I guess you would say. So now you guys have run events, obviously. So I'm guessing you guys haven't ran any events during COVID. If you have, what have you done? And if you haven't, no big deal. But then I would like you to ask this question. Any advice on running events in general for those that are thinking about running events in general?
Yeah, we haven't run any events since COVID hit. We kept pushing them back and then obviously canceled them. And then our event coordinator actually left to pursue a different career that was just at a different pace, sort of. So we don't have an event coordinator right now, which kind of determines our approach. We would have to bring on a whole nother person, which at this point just wouldn't really make sense for us, even though we'd love to get back to events. But some pieces of advice would just be like, make sure that you are the right person to plan an event and execute all the things that go into it. I think, like, you know, I have a vision for events, but I'm not the person who can follow up on the 4,000 point to-do list. And I'm not great at networking with, you know, people at the event. So I just think, like, really having a point person who is just made for that type of position is my biggest tip. Like, if you're not that person, but you still want to have events because you have some passion surrounding it, like, just find people to work with on your team that are really great at those things, because it takes such a specific type of person to do it. Other tips, I would say, like, a theme and a cohesive plan to really provide value to your attendees and your vendors and sponsors, whoever's involved. You know, people are not going to just spend money on anything. So we really focus on, like, trying to provide some serious value with every ticket or vendor spot that we sell. And I think that's taken us a long way.
Yeah, I would love to hear your thoughts. Like, just from your findings, what has been very valuable? Like, maybe something that you're like, oh, let's just throw this against the wall, and it actually stuck in terms of people seeing value in terms of either purchasing tickets or maybe for vendors coming to the event to purchase to be a vendor. What have you found that is pretty valuable to people here in Buffalo?
That's a good question. It's hard for me because we're not in it right now, so I've really shifted my focus elsewhere. But let's see. I would say we do a lot of food and drink events. So, you know, just what's included in the ticket price. Like, they want things. They want physical things. They want an experience, like a DJ or a band. People love alcohol. You know what I mean? Like, things that they really feel like I'm walking away with something. So to be able to combine and, like, kind of not collaborate, because, like, that's not the right word. Everyone's, it's in a win-win scenario, but, like, yeah, bring together all these different things, like a vendor and a person and the sponsor and us, who can really, like, create a win-win scenario because everyone's walking away with something they wanted, I think is just, like, always our main goal.
Yeah, I love that. So for me, it's always been providing more value than you think you would get for that price. Or one thing that's really helped me for running events is just gauging, like, my friends that are honest, give me honest feedback. And I just go, oh, that's great, when they're not even sure if it's great. But, like, hey, I'm thinking about providing this for this. Like, what are your thoughts? Would that really draw you, honestly, or not? Like, would that really make you want to come to an event like this? And what do you think it draws? And just having people that you just respect their opinion, and you think that really can speak, not for the masses, but in terms of the audience you're trying to draw in. And by the way, you're right, Emily. Buffalo definitely loves to have a drink or two. So yeah. I think when you have that, you're good. Now, next question I love to ask is, during COVID, how have you pivoted at all, if at all? What have you learned the most during this time? And maybe another way to ask or say it is, what would you tell yourself if you were back in March again? Just woke up and it's March. You know what's coming. What would you tell yourself now?
Yeah, we haven't, I would say we haven't pivoted like too significantly other than just pivoting towards different editorial topics, since we can't really discuss, you know, events and things to do it as much as we used to. So we've kind of pivoted in terms of those things, which has been fun. And then in terms of advertising, we've kind of sought out different new types of businesses that we didn't really have time to focus on before to sell advertising to. So I feel like that'll put us in a really great spot moving forward when all of this is over. But we've started a little bit of a passion project with selling merch, collaborating with artists and charities, just to kind of like try something new, work with new different types of people, hopefully create a little bit of a revenue stream during these tougher times. So that would be like, I would say, our biggest kind of pivot or addition. But just looking back, I would say like, this is like a construction project. It's like taking twice as long as we thought and costing us twice as much money. And just to kind of be prepared for that and enjoy whatever is happening, you know, as much as you can, kind of see the silver lining. Like I've been trying to enjoy the fact that I have no events to run, because it is a very stressful, you know, situation to be in once a month. And I just had a new baby early in 2020. So I'm just kind of trying to focus on the positive things and make the most of it, honestly.
No, that's awesome. And I think that's great. So another question I have is, what's the biggest tip for someone considering getting started, or someone still in school considering entrepreneurship? Because I feel like you'd be a great person to ask for that.
Yeah, I always tell people, whether they ask me or not, like my little cousins or people like that are interns who come through, like, if you're considering it, just get started on literally anything and just kind of do a process of elimination. For me, it's like a lot of paralysis through analysis. Like I just overthink it and waiting for the right time or the perfect time to do something. And I think if I would have just started a business, started a side hustle, you know, people are selling things on Instagram now through Etsy, little things like that you can do that turn into not so little things super easily if you have good work ethic and some hustle. I think like I just would have loved to know that. Like, you don't need to get straight A's if you're going to be an entrepreneur. Like you don't even need to go to school if you don't want to. So just get started on that and you're going to start failing and succeeding, and you're going to learn so much from that. Even just like through a little bit of research of like, how do I start a website? Like, how do I build a website? How do I start a newsletter? How to, you know, gain some followers on Instagram? Just like some quick Google searches that you'll be forced to do because of that side hustle. Like, you're just going to get down a rabbit hole. If you're a true entrepreneur, you're going to quickly jump into stuff and find where you are supposed to be.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I love how that kind of ties into the title of this podcast, which is going to be Trial and Error Repeat. So we're going to do some rapid fire at this point. Okay. So that being said, how do you find interns? I would love that. When you're saying, oh, we have interns, but I wonder how you find interns. You just post things on Facebook? Do you connect with a local college? How do you find interns?
We started just because somebody reached out to us and asked, and we were like, sure, you can be our intern. And from there, we started posting it to our website, like under our job section. And people have always come to us. Some semesters, we get more than other submissions. So we started, like, marketing interns were super easy for us to find. Event planning interns weren't as much. So we started posting it to Handshake, which is like connected with the colleges. We always post it to our social media accounts. We ask our current interns to kind of recommend anyone that they think would, you know, be good for the position. And we've had a lot of like referrals through our current interns. So once you get started, kind of snowballs from there.
Yeah. It's like, what you said there kind of make me, that has made me laugh, because I was thinking like, hey, you can't leave until you find someone that replaces you. That's good.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, right. I mean, I might be illegal, but I thought that'd be funny. So, hey, and you mentioned in our emails, and we were kind of talking about what we want to talk about on the podcast, and something you said just kind of hit me. It says, don't make your audience come to you. Go where your audience is. And I loved that thought. Can you like, what did you mean by that? And elaborate on that, because I thought it was such a great point.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to marketing. Like in 2020 and even previously, like people are on so many different platforms that really didn't exist before. obviously Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok is a really good example because pretty much no businesses in Western New York are on it yet, but it's like, that's where people are. Like, you can see they have how many millions of users. And so that just proves that they're there. So why wouldn't you be there promoting your business and providing value? So for us, it's just like a website is practically obsolete unless you're bringing people there. Like, you can't expect them to seek you out 100% of the time, like through a Google search, you know? So just like in the past, you might have sent out a mail, you know, snail mail, or gone to an event to kind of gain brand awareness. I think it's just like that. It's just, that's the new version of it. So kind of dismissing a new platform or feature like Reels on TikTok, for example, is just pretty silly because you're just kind of discounting, you know, millions of people that might want your service or your product or to learn more about you, but they won't know about you if you're not there.
No, that's so good. And I think it's a great idea not to dismiss things just because they're new, or maybe we haven't heard of it yet, or maybe it's just not as big as you think it would be yet. So I noticed that when we talked originally on a phone call that Step Up Buffalo has a little like a business side of it, right? Like, and not in terms of your business side, but for business owners to go to, because obviously it's an entrepreneurial podcast. So how can business owners kind of get involved with you guys?
Yeah, so we've kind of like, in order to sell advertising, we started an inbound blog to provide value around marketing and business content to our advertisers or potential advertisers, where we just discuss like different marketing strategies and techniques. And we feature like small local businesses who we think are doing a great job in terms of marketing and business. So it's called stepupbuffalobusiness.com. And we have Facebook and Instagram accounts for that too. And basically, like, you can just follow that. We have an email newsletter. We're kind of kicking it up in 2020 because it's one of those things that we've sort of pivoted towards, like, hey, we're going to grow this thing and make it really something. We've just kind of zeroed in on the need for sort of like a business-to-business content platform. And we're just having a lot of fun with it. So we ask different business owners to give us some business tips. And it's kind of just like a online networking type of thing where you can learn from your peers and locally, but digitally.
No, that's so awesome. So make sure for our listeners out there, make sure you guys are checking out that Step Up Buffalo business and business. And by the way, Emily, since we're basically out of time, we were out of time a minute ago. So that's okay though. Emily, for those that really just connect with your story and love to maybe ask questions that I just needed to get a chance to either think about or just we ran out of time to do, what's the best way that you feel comfortable for those to reach out to you? Some people put out their email, some people put out their cell phones, like whatever you feel comfortable doing. So for those that just want to connect with you on a business level, how do they do so?
Yeah, I mean, any DM that you send to any of our Instagram, Facebook accounts and ask for me, it will come directly to me. You can email info@stepoutbuffalo.com. Those come directly to me. And I promise I will respond as soon as I possibly can. And yeah, I mean, all of our information is pretty much out there. And if you reach out, there's a really good chance you'll get in touch.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate your time and congrats on the new baby. I know I can't believe it's September. For some reason, I got lost and thought it was like still spring. So, but yeah,
I appreciate
COVID makes things different. So I appreciate your time and I appreciate you just being on the show.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
If you loved listening to the Western New York Entrepreneurs Podcast and want more, subscribe to it and head on over to WNYEntrepreneur.com for articles, what's coming up next, and to get involved. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.